I live in Indiana. My sister Dondi lives in Indiana, and there's a little town, Dayton. There's a little Methodist church in the town of Dayton, and it we've been partnering with the Methodist church in Ghana, West Africa, for about 9 years. And when we go over there, we take a medical team with us, and we are planting churches. We sponsor a Ghanaian evangelist over there by the name of Joseph. And we do children's ministry. I am part of the children's ministry, and we work with the Ghanaian water department, and we're putting down clean water wells. We've been able to put down six wells 1 year, and after that we've been able to put three a year. So the water department tells us the best place to put a well that's going to benefit the most people. We might put it down in one village, but it might benefit four villages. So we love being over there. I've been there five times. Started going in 2011. The guy that organizes the trip and takes us over there is Glenn. Glenn and Sue Meiser, they're the couple that's been taking us over there, and they've been going since 2008. And wonderful people, just wonderful people. So we love being over there, and we're going back in 96 days. We're pretty excited about going back. It takes about a year. We're planning all year to go. So the trip usually takes about a year with planning on this side of the pond and that side of the pond. So it's it's not something you just throw together. It's a long-term thing, and we just love being over there. Gosh, where do I start and where do I stop? We serve an awesome God. Back in 2013, if you had told me that I was going to be standing in front of you guys and telling you a story, I would have said, there's no way. I don't speak in front of anybody. I am not a public speaker. If there was two people, there was two people too many. And God just gave me this voice and this burning desire to tell you what He does. And we serve an awesome God. He's just awesome. So when we go over there, we take a medical team with us. And like I said, we work with the Methodist circuit over there. And they pick out two new villages every year. So we go to the village, and we'll set up a medical clinic. And we will do the children's ministry. And when we do the children's ministry, we will pick out one or two stories and a Bible verse, and we get to go into the schools and teach the kids about Jesus. I can't do that here, and they are just, we've told them before, we can't do that here in the States, and they just can't understand that, because it is so important for the kids to know about Jesus Christ. So we go into the schools, and we have a color page, and we have crayons that we take in there. And what's so funny is these kids are fascinated by a white crayon. They are just so, and we'll teach them a story. And we also take these little frisbee rings, and we have John 3:16 printed on here. The kids are learning English, so it's in English. So we'll take these. The first couple of years, we took regular Frisbees, and we tried teaching the kids how to throw these things. But they had a hard time doing it, and they wound up using them for plates. So, yeah. So we decided to do the Frisbee rings and put the John 3:16 on there. And so you start out with like a couple of kids and start throwing these things around, and soon you're going to wind up with 50 or 100 kids, and they're wanting to play this. And you throw it to them, and you obviously see the look on their face, because they're just, here's something floating at them, and they're trying to figure, and they catch it. And it's such a door opener, because it's got John 3:16, and then you're able to explain and just kind of tell them about Jesus. So these are just really cool to play with the kids. They love doing that. And then we're also doing construction work. We don't have the video going. We also have a construction team, and we are building a church. It's a pavilion. That's the most expensive part of the building itself, is the roof. So we get a construction crew in there, and they help to build this. And it's pretty neat to work side by side with these Ghanaians. They're just wonderful people. And Ghana is a very, very welcoming, very, very friendly. They are just so excited to see us come over there. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. And when we go, there is a three-story mission house that we stay in Kumasi, and then we will go from Kumasi to the two new villages that we're going to be working. We work during the day, and then in the evening we will go back and do a revival. And I love being there. I mean, I just love being there, but in the evening it's just amazing, the revivals. They're so powerful. They're just wonderful. And like I said, it's a very friendly, very welcoming, love being there. But I want to tell you a story, what happened in 2013, and God just was, he was there. My story is about salvation. We're not guaranteed one more day or one more breath. You've got to know who your Lord and Savior is. You're not guaranteed. It's about grace and mercy and faith. When God tells you you're going to be okay, when it doesn't look so good, you better believe him, because God doesn't lie. And it's about forgiveness. So when we got to the mission house in February, we got there about February 16th and got ourselves all in there and situated. And we always go out to villages that we have planted churches in the past. So we're always in contact, and we stay connected with the churches that have been planted in the past, and they're just wonderful. We went Sunday night. We went to bed early. And early is about midnight, because when you go on a mission trip, there's always something going on, and you're always working, and you're always doing something. So midnight was pretty early. And this was on the 17th. So we went to bed about midnight, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, there was, the mission house has got, it's a three-story cinder block mission house, and it's got this decorative wall about this big, all the way around it, and there's a little courtyard in the front, and there's a watchman that just kind of keeps an eye on stuff, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, there was at least three, probably four guys that they just wanted to rob us. And this never happens in Ghana. It shocked everybody. So they climbed over a back wall. And they climbed over the wall, and they surprised the guy that was the watchman. And they tied him up. And I don't want this story to deter anybody from going on a mission trip, because any time you are doing the Lord's work, you're going to be dealing with spiritual warfare. You just have to stay strong. I mean, if God lays it on your heart to go on a mission trip, you're blessed more than you can imagine. So they tied up the watchman, and one of the guys stayed with him, keep an eye on him. And at least two, and probably three of them, they climbed up to the second floor window, and there was an open window there. And they climbed in there, and that was one of our doctor's bedrooms. And so, like I said, they were just planning on robbing us. They got in there and surprised him. This is 1 o'clock in the morning. And they stole everything that was worth any value. His laptop and his cell phone, his wallet, credit cards, money, everything that he had, they stole it. And they locked him in this little bathroom in that room. And they were just going to go from room to room and steal whatever they could. So the next room was our Ghanaian driver. and he didn't have anything, so they locked him up. And then they went over here to this room, and this was our Ghanaian cook, and she didn't have anything, so they locked her up. And then the next room that they came into was mine and Julie's. Now this is 1 o'clock in the morning, third world country. And so they came into our room, and they shone flashlights in our eyes, and we woke up, and they told us to be quiet, be quiet. And Julie started screaming, which is a normal reaction. I mean, anybody would. She started screaming, and I had asked her later, I said, Julie, did you feel anything? And the only way we could describe it is the air was heavy, and that was the spiritual warfare that we were dealing with. We could feel it, but we couldn't see it. It was there. We knew it was there. So she screamed, and she put her head down, and she was praying real loud. If anything was going to happen, she wanted those guys to hear the name Jesus Christ. And so she was praying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I don't know why God does what he does, but I was never worried. I wasn't afraid. I just had this peace. She had her head down and she was praying. And one of the guys came around to her side of the bed, and he had a big knife, a great big knife. And there was kind of a window behind him so I could see what was going on. And she was praying, and he had that knife right over top of her, and she was praying. And one of the neatest things to see is God's hand of protection over Julie. God had his hands right over Julie. That guy never touched Julie. And that was so awesome to see God's protection. And I hollered at him, no, 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 no. And he never touched her. He came around to the foot of the bed, and my backpack was right there. And my passport was in my backpack. And anybody that's been overseas knows that your backpack is, your passport is gold. And he grabbed that, and I was thinking, I have got to get that. And so I just reached out. I was going to grab my backpack. I was just going to get my passport. He could have anything else. And as soon as I touched my backpack, and Julie looked up just in time to see him bring his arm down on my arm. And she thought that he broke my arm because I let go of my backpack. But he stabbed me. He got me. And this is a little graphic, but you need to know that this was serious, because if I didn't tell you that it was serious, it would diminish the glory of God. It was serious. He stabbed me right here, and the knife went all the way through, in one and out the other. The other guy by the door, he had a knife too, and he was going to get me in the back. And he came up, and God just moved me out of the way just far enough, and he got me under here, and it came out up here, went all the way through. And then he stabbed me in the chest, and he punctured my lung. And they took off running with my backpack. And yeah, and I wound up on the floor beside the bed on my knees, in a puddle of blood, and Julie flipped on the light. And like I said, the mission house was a cinder block mission house, so everything happened so quick, and the noise doesn't carry. So people later told us that they really didn't hear anything, and they woke up to something, but they didn't know what it was until Julie took off screaming for help. But I was on my knees on the floor, and Julie flipped on the light real quick, and she came around, and I said, Julie, go get help. So she took off screaming, and then it was just me and my Savior in that room, just us two. Can you picture that? I'm on the floor on my knees in a puddle of blood, and here's Jesus right there on the floor with me, keeping me calm and at peace. peace. I have never felt that kind of peace before. And I looked over, and I could see the pool of blood, and it was getting pretty big pretty quick. And I thought, well, that's not good. I mean, that's what I thought. That's not good. And I told God, I said, God, if this is the way that you want me to come home, I'm okay with it. I've given my life to Christ. I gave my life to Christ when I was about 10 years old. We are not guaranteed one more day or one more breath. You have got to know who your Lord and Savior is. And I knew that I knew where I was going, and I was okay with it. I knew I was, because this didn't look good over here, and I knew. And I knew that God was going to take care of my family. I've got a husband, I've got kids, and I've got grandkids, I've got sisters. And I knew that if God was going to take me home, He was going to take care of my family. I wasn't worried about anybody coming in. We had three doctors, and I had a paramedic in just right down the hall. And I was just waiting to see God's face. I was waiting. Can you imagine being that close to death and being at that much peace, feeling that it's an indescribable peace? It was just an indescribable peace. And then can you imagine being that close to death and not knowing Christ? So, but there was just this unbelievable peace. And when I told God that I was ready to come home, this is a really neat part, you guys, listen. I was on my knees in this puddle of blood, and I told God I was ready to come home. And then I was standing in front of this door, and this door was right here. And it was this beautiful shade of blue, and it was right here with white around it. And I knew that God was on the other side of that door, and I was waiting for Him to open up that door. And time is kind of, I don't know how long I was there. It couldn't have been very long, but time just, you kind of lose time when you're in that kind of situation. So I was just waiting. And this peace is just indescribable. And I was standing in front of that door, and then a moment later, I was standing, I saw myself standing in front of this door, just this short distance right there. And then I saw somebody on the other side of that door, and it was a silhouette. So, and as soon as I saw that, I heard. Has anybody ever heard God's voice? It is this beautiful, beautiful, strong, soft, unquestioning voice. And He said, "You're going to be okay." And I mean, that's, you're going to be okay, in this beautiful voice. And as soon as He said that, then I was back on my knees. I felt the ground. I was back on my knees. And as soon as I realized I was back on my knees, that's when everybody come running into the room. And Glenn and Sue was the first ones. And Glenn came in first, and he pushed Sue out of the way because there was a lot of blood everywhere and he didn't want her to see it. And I didn't look very good. And so he scooped me up and he got me on the bed, and I had the other three doctors, and I had Lynette, and she's a paramedic with about 32 years of experience, so she's seen it all. And they were in there, and Joseph, our Ghanaian evangelist, was praying. My goodness, he was praying, like, I mean, beautiful prayer. And everybody on the team that couldn't fit in the room was right outside the door on their knees praying. And they had me on the bed, and I knew it was going on. I knew everybody that was in the room, I knew it was going on. And everybody was having a heart attack because they saw what I looked like, but I knew how I felt, and God said, "You're going to be okay." And they were trying to figure out what was going on. Like I said, there's blood everywhere. And I couldn't blink my eyes. And I thought, well, I got to do something. These people are going to think I'm dead, and I'm not. And so Lynette was looking for a pulse, and she could not find a pulse. Couldn't find a pulse. And finally she found one in my neck. And then she said, Renee? And I said, yeah. And she said, what happened? And I said, I got stabbed. So that's when they started looking for the stab wounds, and they got pressure on them. And we happened to be, the mission house just happens to be about 35 minutes from one of Ghana's largest teaching hospitals, over rough roads, third world country roads. And so they got me on one of these tables with the legs that close up, got me on one of those tables, and got me down the steps into an SUV, and it just fit. And the doctors, everybody was in, I had the doctors and I had Lynette and a driver in that SUV. And we took off, and the guys in the SUV that went with me to the hospital, my blood type is A positive. And everybody in that vehicle had A positive blood. Is that God or what? I mean, that's not a common blood type, so yeah, that was pretty cool. So we were going to the hospital, and like I said, the roads were pretty rough, and Lynette, everybody was holding on to me, trying to keep me from bleeding out, and Lynette, I remember Lynette kept saying, you know, we're going as fast as we can, I'm sorry, here's another bump, you know, brace yourself, you know, we're doing what we can, here's another rut, brace yourself. I never felt any of those bumps. I mean, it's like God had me right here. I never felt any of those bumps all the way 35 minutes to the hospital. I never felt any of those bumps. So we got to the emergency room, and they got me in there and laid me on a table. And they were taking my vitals, and they were getting me all stitched up. And is there anybody medical? Okay, they were taking my vitals. My blood pressure was a little bit low, but it was still good. And my oxygen level, I had a punctured lung, and I had lost a lot of blood. My oxygen level was 98%. Yeah, I was God. I was God. And like I said, I had a punctured lung. So they brought around this cart, this little cart, and I knew what it was because I had to have a chest tube put in. And this is really going to blow you away. I knew what they were doing, but that chest tube never hurt. I have never felt any pain from any of this. I knew I could feel the pressure of that tube going into my chest, but there was never, ever, ever any pain. When this guy stabbed me here, he severed my radial nerve, and he cut my tricep muscle almost in half. Has anybody ever had any kind of muscle pain or any pinched nerve or anything like that? I have never felt any pain from that, ever. And that's not just from the hospital. I mean, I have never felt any pain from that. I don't know why God does what he does, but he has kept me so comfortable. So, but I spent 5 days in the hospital, and the team, I love my team. I love my team. And this bonds you. I mean, this bonds you as a team. There was always somebody that stayed with me, one or two people that stayed with me in the hospital. And that evening, that Monday evening, and everybody knew that I was going to be okay. I was all settled into the hospital, and I was very comfortable. I really was comfortable. My team decided, we came all that way, and we had been planning for months and months and months. They decided to go to the two villages that we planned on going to. I you can't imagine doing all that planning and not go. So there was always somebody with me. And the team went out to the villages and did the work that we planned on doing. They planted the churches. They did the medical. They did the children's ministry. I was supposed to be doing children's ministry, and two guys that were planning on doing the construction part of it, they wound up taking care of the children, and they were kid magnets. They were just like, you guys did great. Yeah. So, and the medical, that when they set up the medical, there was a week-old baby, and there was an 18-month-old baby. And if they hadn't gone out to those villages, and if they hadn't set up the medical, that little week-old baby had malaria. And if she hadn't had the medicine, if she hadn't been given that medicine, she would have been dead. The little 18-month-old boy, he had gotten hit by a piece of something, and so he had a fever and swelling and an infection, and he was in pretty bad shape when they got there. And they had given him 3 days' worth of medicine, so he was okay by the time they left. If they hadn't decided to go out to those villages, those two little children would have been dead. So, I mean, I love my team. And so, yeah, we stayed there. We stayed there and did the work. Well, they did. I was resting in the hospital, but they stayed and did the work. And when we came back to the States, I had to have surgery because I had to have my radial nerve reattached. And when they sewed me up in Africa, they used, it looked like 80-pound test line. I mean, it was some pretty heavy stuff. And so I had to go to the hospital, my doctor, and had to tell him my story. And so they reattached everything. And I never even felt any pain from that surgery. I don't know why, but I have never felt any pain. And a paper cut hurts. I mean, I do feel pain. A paper cut really hurts. So, yeah, I don't know. But, and we went back. All of us but my roommate went back in 2014. We all went back. And there was a lot of people say, why are you going back? Why are you going back? It's because God asks us to. Isaiah 6:8. Who will go for us? And who shall I send? And the team, they're all raising their hands, send me. We got a heart for that. And we all went back in 2014. And I was able to, like I said, I'm not a public speaker, but boy, after that night, it's like, I cannot wait to tell the next person. Who can I tell next? Who can I tell next? And when my arm was all bandaged up from my surgery, I've got a little shop at home. And my dad called it my door opener, because people would say, what happened to you? And I said, well, if you got 20 minutes, I've got the coolest story. I'm going to tell you what happened. So when we went back to Africa in 2014, stayed at the same place. It's the same mission house. And I would have stayed in the same room, but there was already somebody in there. One of our interpreters was in there by the time we got there. I was able to, one of the villages, in the evening, when we go back in the evening to do the revival, I knew that God wanted me to speak, and I was so anxious to tell everybody what God did. And I sat down that afternoon, before we went out into the village, I sat down with Joseph. It's Joseph's Mission House. And I said, Joseph, I've got this story. I said, I don't know how to present it because I don't want the Ghanaians to feel guilty about what happened. It wasn't anybody's fault. It shocked everybody. It shocked the police. It shocked everybody. I said, it wasn't anybody's fault. I said, and I don't want the mission house, I don't want anything negative about the mission house. How do I present this? And Joseph, he said, you tell them the truth. And you tell them everything. I said, okay. So he was my interpreter. And when we got there that evening, there was probably about 400 people. And I was able to give my testimony to about 400 people. And I never would have done that before. February 18th, 2013, at 1 o'clock in the morning. And when I got done with the testimony, there wasn't anybody sitting down. Everybody was up. They were either giving their life to Christ or they were helping. And that was 400 people. And it was so worth it. It was so worth it. I mean, if it made a difference in one person's life, it was worth it. And we went back this year in July, and I was able to do it again. And we're going back in 96 more days. So, like I said, don't let this story deter you from going, because God has just been working. This is what Satan tried to do. He tried to do this. He tried to stop us. And this is what God did and is still doing. And this is what we focus on. Because God, we serve an amazing God. And I can't wait to see what else He's going to do. When you got a missionary's heart. So that's my story. Has anybody got any questions? Oh, my backpack. I got to tell you this. My passport. Those guys took off with my passport. And in Ghana, there isn't any city blocks. It's just a ways down the road, far ways down the road. before we left to go to Ghana, before we left the church in Dayton, the guy that leads us, Glenn, God kicked him out of bed about 4 o'clock in the morning and made him write down on a little piece of paper Joseph's name and number, contact information, address and everything, on a little piece of paper, and Glenn gave that to each one. First year he's ever done it. He gave it to each one of us, and I put that in my little packet right next to my passport. Well, that little piece of paper, when those guys took my backpack, they took off, and it was, I don't know, a couple miles they ran. And then in Ghana, there's a lot of trash all over. There's just, when they're done with something, they just throw it down, so there's trash all over the place. And those guys just threw out what they didn't want out of my backpack and took off. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a little lady that was walking to work, and she had the presence of mind to see, out of all this trash that's all over Ghana, this scattering of stuff. And she gathered it all up, and there was a passport there, gathered all that up, and she brought it to her husband. And he said, "Well, I know Joseph." So he called up Joseph, and he said, "Joseph, do you know a Renee Dexter?" And Joseph said, "Well, yes, I do. She's in the hospital right now." And he said, "I've got her passport." So I had my passport back within 24 hours of it, well, really 12 hours of it getting stolen. So I didn't have to worry about that. I mean, I could kind of go on and on about all the... God was everywhere in every detail. I mean, you can look back and just see where He was, what He was doing. That's not possible without God. It was every moment God was right there. So He's always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. As far as forgiveness, those two guys that stabbed me, God has given me the grace from the moment those guys stabbed me to forgive them. I have never been angry at those guys. And I'm still praying for them. I don't think that they knew what they were doing. I'm part of the children's ministry. And if those guys had been introduced to Christ when they were little, I really don't think that they would have done that. So we... the children's ministry is my heart. We just try to reach as many children as we can over there. So, does anybody have any questions? No kidding?
dumbfounded.
Well, God's an amazing God. So, and these oh, Mary. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, we take about 100 of those every time we go. And we spend a lot of time with the kids with those and play with them. So, yeah.
Have you gone on any other missions other than Ghana?
Ghana's the only place I've been. And the first time that Glenn ever asked me, he asked me in 2009 if I wanted to go. And I thought, what am I going to do in Ghana? I don't know anything about medical. So we sent my daughter. She's a medical. And she went in 2010. And she came back, and it's a long trip, so you would be pretty tired when you got back, but she was so excited about going, and we sat down for hours, and she showed me pictures, and she said, Mom, you have to go. So I thought, well, okay. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll hug kids, but... so, yeah, I've been going since 2011, every year. And we're going to go back in February, the last 2 weeks in February, and this will be my 6th trip. We just came back. We went July of this year. And this kind of surprised a lot of people, but I was anxious to go back in that room. Last year, I couldn't because there was already somebody in there. I didn't want to invade their space. But I pretty much insisted that I wanted that room because that's where God was. That's where, I mean, he's always with us, but he was right there on the floor with me. And it's hard to describe because it was pretty traumatic for a lot of the team members. But it was such a God moment for me that, I got that room this year, and peace. I mean, I'm still blanketed with this indescribable peace, still. When I went back in 2014, I was just recuperating from all this, and went back to the doctor one last time, and he's checking me out, and he said, oh, you're good to go. And I said, well, I'm going back to Africa. And he said, what? And down, and he said, how are you doing up here? I've never, emotionally and mentally, I have never had any bad moments. I mean, like I said, it's just God's peace. I've never had any nightmares. I've never had any anxious moments. It's just been absolute peace. So, and I'm anxious to go back. This year we've got, I think about 14 so far. And everybody that went in 2013 is going this year. So.
Is it, do you go with a, like a parent church organization, or is this a group from your church that goes?
Well, there's a big group from the church, but then there's some other people from other churches that come and join us. And the doctors that go with us, one of them is Cameron Gongwer, and he is a missionary doctor with the Mission Society. And he was over in Africa. He lived over there for about 14 years as a missionary doctor. And so he and his brother go with us every year. So he was one of the... A positives that was with me. So it's not exclusively the church there, but we do partner with the Methodist Church in Ghana. So, yeah.
Yeah. Is it their facility then, the Mission House? Is that the Methodist Church's facility that you...
It is. Joseph Oatson is the evangelist that we sponsor over there, and he works... He's the Methodist, and he built he built this mission house, and it's a pretty nice mission house. But yeah, he built it, and he's responsible for it. So, yeah.
Did you bring your slides?
I did bring my slides. Can we play that?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Our first Sunday, we break up into groups and we will go to the different churches that have been planted in the past. This is one that we planted last year. That's Julie. She was my roommate. That's my roommate Julie. And that's Glenn. He's the leader. And that's his wife, Sue. That's part of the team. Trima Mim was one of the first churches that they planted back in 2008. This one was planted in 2012. Tom, he's one of the other. This is a little clinic right here, and we are dedicating one of the wells. They did not have any running water in this clinic, so a well was pretty critical to them. Put that down. And it's a big deal. I mean, you can imagine some of the water that they have to deal with. So it's a huge deal for them to get clean water. That's my husband up there packing up, and that's the team. That was the team this year. That's the missionary doctor. That's Cam Gonga. And this is outside. When we set up the clinic in the villages, this is the waiting room. And while they're waiting for the doctor, they're like a captive audience. You can just talk to him, give him a testimony, preach to him. They're giving their life to Christ. It's inside the clinic. And we work with the Ghanaians over there too. So we've got interpreters and we've got nurses, Ghanaian nurses that help out. And they always pray. You're always praying over the people that come in. Twin babies. Yeah. Gifty. She's a sweetie. The lady on the right is Lynette. She was the paramedic that couldn't find a pulse. That's Tom right there, and he's giving his testimony. This is building the pavilion. They start out with just raw lumber, and they cut it right there, put it together, working with the Ghanaian construction crew. And this crew has been helping us every year. They help us build two pavilions every year. And then they put a tin roof on, and the tin roof is probably no thicker than a TV dinner tray, but it's not holding snow, it's just keeping the rain off of it. That's the Frisbees. Yeah. Is that precious or what? Yeah. That's one of the classrooms. We're singing to them. Teaching them a story. Coloring pages. We did Noah's Ark this year. One of the ones was Noah's Ark. And soap bubbles. And they are fascinated by those too. So you want to get a crowd of kids, all you got to do is start blowing soap bubbles. I love this picture. And Grace is, she's going to Purdue Agriculture, and she was going over there and do soil sampling, and she was talking to some of the farmers over there to help them with their crops. So she and the husband went out into one of the farm fields and was helping out there for a little bit. This is an evening, the evening revival. And to be in the middle of that, it's amazing. Because I can tell you how it's like, but to be in the middle of that and feel it is indescribable. Look at that. All those kids give their life to Christ. And then we bring Bibles and we present a Bible to the new pastor and children's Bibles. And we also present them with a bicycle so they can get around, because they're not just a pastor in one village. They might be a pastor in five villages. We're singing to them while they're waiting to see the doctor. And that's in the clinic. Weight and height and temperature. And these people might walk miles and miles and miles just to see the doctor and wait all day. And we pray for them. That's the second village we were at. That is a predominantly Muslim village. And last year and this year, we had gone down to the coast where the Muslim villages are. And we were able to go into the schools and teach these children and plant a church in a Muslim village. Evening crusades. And my husband gave his testimony one night in that village, and he was so surprised when a huge group of kids came up to give their life to Christ after he got done talking. He said, "What did Joseph say to get those kids to come up here?" I love that. Giving my testimony again. And then this is the new church that was planted in that village, and this is the last Sunday, so we spend Sunday with them, and it's a pretty big thing for them. They celebrate for hours. And they were baptized. Everybody that had given their life to Christ, those 3 days that we were there, they baptized them. And then we were presenting the Bibles. And the bicycle. Lord, you are holy. Jesus Christ. And that was the second well that we dedicated. That's in an area that is probably going to be serving about four villages. It's kind of out in an area, a new area that they're building up. So, and then we spend a day on the beach, resting. That's the team. So, who's going to be a missionary now? Well, any questions? Okay.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing your testimony with us. Well.